in fact, could veto them. We heard from Education Secretary Arne Duncan on Monday. He said that the Senate bill is missing key pieces as it currently stands. And as for the Republican bill in the House, he said it's a major step backward for children in this country. So just about everyone agrees that No Child Left Behind needs to be scrapped and fixed, but there's still not really a clear path as to how to do that.
All right, NPR's Juana Summers covers Congress for us. Juana, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm David Green.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Good morning. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I with a look at what's been happening in the marketplace from the CME Group in Chicago. It's been open for a while for the grains pits. July corn is up about 3.5 cents at 419 and a quarter. December at 436 and three quarters, up 3 3/4. Soy complex is 12 cents higher at this hour, 1014. And that's in the July. November at 10 and three quarters higher, $9.96 and a half. By the way, that July trading at 1014 again. January at 10.02 and three quarters, up 10.5, and next year's July up 5.5 at 9.86 and three quarters. Bean meal futures are up $3.60. Bean oil 21 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat is 2 cents higher at 5.81 and a half. And the lead option July, the harvest month hard redder July up a nickel at 5.75 and three quarters at this hour. Live cattle futures in the August are 42.5 cents lower at $150.65. The feeders are 57.5 cents lower, 216.55, and lean hogs 52.5 cents higher at $79.82.5. On the line to take a look at these numbers and talk about the USDA report due out on Friday of this week is Jackie Fakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good morning to you, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Todd.
Well, this has been an interesting couple of days, and I'm wondering, when you look at how the trade has gone, especially in the bean pit, is there a wider macroeconomic event that's taking place, and I'm thinking China, that really is causing this, or is it just people taking money back off the table? What's been happening in Chicago?
No, I think it's probably a combination of both. You know, it's taking the money off the table because of the China issue. China's stock market has just been melting down, and over the last 3 weeks, they've lost $3.25 trillion. And as of this morning, 71% of their firms, 1,331 firms, actually halted trading. So that freezes about 40% of the country's remaining market capitalization. So this is really an ugly situation, and it's definitely something to be concerned about. You can see the Dow is taking it seriously. If you put this on a par with the Dow, it would be an equivalent probably of the Dow dropping from 17,000 down to maybe about 12,500 or 13,000. You know, it's a gigantic, much more than a correction. And it's shades and memories of the old days. Now, so we saw some money come out of the market. This morning we saw China come, well, unknown, who we believe is China, come in and buy 240,000 metric tons, or about 6.5 million bushels of beans for new crop. And that gave the market enough to just kick up. We're about 6-7 cents off the highs. I expect the next number of days, Todd, we are going to trade ahead of this USDA report much more like a day trading market than anything else. You know, money in, money out. Depending upon the direction of how the market ends at night, they'll push it one way or the other. But they're tending. We got back up to 437 and three quarters on Dease corn. 439 and three quarters was a high the other day, and that was just the magical, right below the magical 440 number, which so many people are hoping for. And so we'll see. It makes for a very difficult situation when you have China having problems, Greece having problems. There's just so many things going on in the world situation, and the idea too that the Fed is going to be talking, and will they raise, will they indicate when they're going to raise rates is the big one.
All right. So have you started to have discussions, and I don't think with your clientele, but within Stuart Peterson, within your broker base that you talk to, about how and when to make decisions based on what's happening in China and Greece and what might be trigger points that could cause some real damage. And for instance, the Chinese economy really is in, I don't want to call it dire straits, but they're in trouble at this point. And what kinds of things are you watching?
Well, they're definitely in trouble. I mean, they're making some real, what I would consider to be last-ditch efforts. You know, they directed the state-owned brokerage firms and hedge funds to come in and buy undervalued shares. They're lifting the regulations that prevent these firms from buying back shares that they previously sold. I mean, in other words, they're changing the rules. They're changing the laws to try and stop this because, and it reminds me a great deal of what went on here in 2008 when we melted down. You know, the panic just rolls and it doesn't quit. And eventually it will, but how much damage gets done in between is the question. You know, and we've all been watching China for quite a while because they keep on dialing their GDP back. And we know that they've got issues. You know, they've got issues because of some of the decisions they've made with grain and sitting on all of that local grain and all that money. And so it's very concerning. When you look at the Greece situation, it's one of those that could really cause a global issue. If all of a sudden we see the Eurozone, and you can see that the Eurozone is reluctant to kick them out because of the implications from a global standpoint, because they extended, you know, until Sunday. Now, the EU, you know, they came back to the EU today and said, we'd like a three-year loan, and they said they'd enact tax and pension-related measures on Monday. Well, yeah, we'll see that. I mean, you know, they've said that before, and so can they be trusted is the question, and so... You know, it's there's just so many things going on. The Fed remarks today, I think, are going to be very minor from the standpoint of it won't make a whole lot of difference what they say because of everything that's going on in China and Greece. This is a good example of where, as producers and, you know, and end users, you've got to be paying attention to the world situation. The dollar has been climbing. That's not good for us in the long run. And especially for anyone who wants to sell anything overseas, like beef and pork and, you know, all of our grains. And so I think that you have to be cautious. This really, all of the rain and everything else here takes a back seat to what's going on in the world because you've got to protect yourself. If you haven't done anything to protect yourself, you haven't done anything to reward this recent rally, be very careful because if we do end up in a situation where China can't stop this, and you know they've been trying for 2 weeks already to stop this, and it hasn't stopped. This could be very detrimental to us in the long run, only from a perception standpoint. It might not really truly be detrimental, but it's still perception that drives the market.
Yeah, so I suppose as a reminder, it might be important to note that, and maybe you can help me decide or talk a little bit about this, the division on corn in China and soybeans in China. China taking, I think, about two-thirds of all the soybeans produced on the planet, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. Yep, that is absolutely correct. And, you know, so that's where the implications come. You know, nobody believes that China will totally stop buying everything, but it's just the implications and the perception of what's happening. You know, when it comes to corn, you know, China's made a lot of, as an example, you know, we had record DDG exports in the month of May. But since the month of May, we've seen real slowdown in corn exports to China, DDG exports to China and related things like that. And, you know, so from that standpoint, I think we have to just be on our toes. You have to be business people. You have to protect what you've got.
On that note, have you checked what are sorghum exports to China looking like? I mean, they have been on just a record pace for a couple of years. Did they back off as well?
Well, we haven't got current enough numbers. That's the problem. You know, we know that in the month of May, the bean exports backed off 4.36% compared to a year ago, and that as of the end of the month of May, we were only even on exports to China for the entire year, in contrast to other years where we've been ahead. But we just haven't got good enough numbers at this stage, Todd. I would venture to say that we will probably see sorghum back off somewhat too, and only because China, you know, we've talked about this before, China is offering their processors a subsidy to use up local grain. You're not going to import grains if you can get a subsidy necessarily to use local grains, if they can use corn in place of Milo, they're certainly going to do that. And so it's a circum. You know, we just haven't heard much. The first they were offering 82 cents a bushel, now $1.64. Are they doing it? Nobody knows.
Right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again this afternoon. Really tricky situation to work through and the vagaries. I do appreciate you helping us out this morning.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. That, of course, is Jackie Vega. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbanum. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It'll be 10 o'clock in the central time zone. Occasional showers today. A thunderstorm before 5 this afternoon. Showers likely. Some of those storms could produce heavy rainfall, so be on the lookout. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 80%. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.